Hello and welcome. This is the Veg Grower Podcast, and this is episode 3, and it's the 11th of September 2013. 11th of September 2013, it's been a while since my last one, if you listen to the dates on the recordings. And the reason for that is that when I recorded the previous ones, I've talked about the website and having it up and running. Now, at the time of where I would have published these podcasts, I would have had it up and running, and it is up and running now. But it took me a bit longer to get the website working to how I wanted it. I've had to change several hosts to get it working exactly how I like it. But it is now up and running, and obviously it is, because you wouldn't be able to hear this without that. There's still a few tweaks, which we're getting around to do, but for the most part, it's up and working. So please, please, please do go and visit if you're just hearing this. That's theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. Now, in this podcast, as it's a catch-up, I'm just going to be talking about about my allotment and take you on a tour. I'm going to start at the bottom. After giving you a brief layout. Now, the actual allotment is 25 metres by 10 metres. I share this with my very good friend Barry. It is in fact his allotment, and I'm a co-worker. It stretches west-east. The 25 metres stretches west-east to make that a bit clearer. Now, it is on a bit of an incline, with the western end being a bit higher than the rest, probably only a couple of metres higher. But that is quite a steep when you're up and down, up and down. Now, I start at the eastern end at the bottom. At the bottom there's a communal path, which doesn't come into the 25 metres really. Now, I've got no neighbours on this, it's just a neighbouring area with a massive 2 metre fence with barbed wire around the top, which stretches all the way around all the allotment site. As we enter, we have a shed to the left, and just in front of a shed towards the path, there is a fig tree which is currently being buried in the soil. In a pot, of course, to make it best for fruiting. There's also a water butt just in front of this. And to the right, we've got a bit of a scrubland where currently it's grass and bits of wood and nettles grow. Eventually, we're going to move the compost bins to here. And that's it. Right, now on the other side of the shed, we have a bit of a wooden bath with a wheelie bin that we've converted into a water butt. I think I may have mentioned this before. We mainly use this one for a nettle tea. Just to the side of that, we have a wormery. Around the corner of the shed, we have another 2 blue big plastic drums that we use to catch rainwater. They are linked to the guttering off the shed. And there's a tube running from the first one into the second one to, when the first one overfills, catch it in the second one. Now, the shed was here when we moved in, and it's got such a character to it. The main part has been somebody has built out of old wooden doors. And then to the side of it, they've bolted another shed on that obviously they were getting rid of. But we just love it. It's such a character to it. And we use it to store our tools and stuff. Now, on the path just in front of the shed, we keep a couple of chairs for sitting around on, a couple of, you know, plastic white garden chairs. Now, just above the scrubland area I was talking about, we have an apple tree that was also there when we moved in. And that's done quite well. It's been trimmed back and neglected a bit over the last few years, but it's coming back to shape. Last year it didn't perform very well. This year it's doing a lot better. Then just behind this, we have two compost bins made out of pallets, just bolted together. Now these fill up pretty rapidly. The first one we filled up last year and is pretty much ready for compost, using the compost, which we will spread around later on this year. And the first one is full and currently a wasp nest underneath it. Now, the paths we use here are, we make from wood chip. We've edged them with some wooden planks we've had left lying around and stuff. And got the wood chip from round the corner somewhere where a load of wood chip is just dumped by people. We just go along with bins quite regularly, fill them up and pour them down. Now, this, the path at the centre, as I say, runs right the whole length of the allotment. To the left is my side, and to the right is Barry's side. Although we call it each other's side, it's what we take care of and look after. It's we generally help look after each other's at the same time and help ourselves to each other's produce when we need it. Now, on my side, I'm using scaffold boards or other bits of wood to make like steps. And each step is a bed. Now, the first step, towards the rear of it, I have a large polytunnel type greenhouse. And this is 3 metres by 2 metres by 2.2 high. And it is a brilliant little thing. I've only erected it this year. I had one last year, which didn't. It was a cheap one from Tesco's, and it didn't last very well. This one I got from Amazon. A few teething problems. The wind did catch it because I didn't really bolt down the skirt very well. I've now learned that you need bags and bags of sand all round it to hold it down. Now I've made, on the approach to this greenhouse, I've got some broken stone, can't think what they're called now, tiles and stuff that I've grabbed from my parents actually, which I've laid down to make a bit of a path, and in between this I've planted some chamomile, which, it was lawn chamomile, and it makes a lovely, it's to make a little lawn, which, just making use of the space that I can. And on either side of this path, I also have on one side a strawberry bed. It's only about 2 metres by half a metre. And a little herb bed that I use for currently. There's some chives, some parsley, and some feverfew. Now the chives I'm planting should keep coming and coming each year. The parsley self-seeds if I leave it to flower. And the same with the feverfew. Now just beyond this I've got the first bed. And that is currently my brassica bed. In there I have some broccoli, some kale, some cabbages and some Brussels sprouts. I have netted these, but probably should have netted them a bit better. Because a few butterflies have got in there and laid eggs, but I keep picking them off and pulling them back. It's kept the pigeons off, so it's something. Now, the cabbage is probably nearly ready. It's formed heads. Not massive heads, but, you know, it's formed heads. And the kale is ready for harvesting, but in a cut and come again fashion. Now, the next bed behind this is just more of a spare bed that I've just used to plant anything I have left over or what have you. Now, I should say on each of these beds I've laid over black weed suppressant membrane. But in this second bed I have leeks, I have some leftover tomato plants, courgettes, sweet potatoes, and some spaghetti squash. Now, all these seem to be doing quite well currently. I'm getting courgettes, which is great. The sweet potato doesn't seem to have grown that much since I planted it, but that was a complete and utter experiment. Now, the next bed behind this one was my three sisters' bed. Now, by three sisters, I mean it grows sweet corn, then pumpkins trailing around it to keep the weeds down, and then beans growing up the sweet corn. Now, I planted the sweet corn and the pumpkins, but I planted the beans at the front of them, rather than around each sweet corn. Bit of naivety there, but now I know. I will learn for the future. Now, the sweet corn was doing really, really well. Unfortunately, the badgers got in and they chewed the bottom to get to the corns, and near enough every single one has been knocked over. So really, really disheartened with that. But I've got plans for the future for that. Now, I had broad beans in amongst these beans, and they done well. Peas, not so well, but they're still growing, so we can see. French beans, reasonably well out of those, but they're still growing. Now, the next bed behind this was my root crops. So I've had carrots, radishes, beetroot, turnips, spring onions, and parsnips. Now, this is one of the beds I didn't actually cover with any membrane. So it's got quite weedy, and keeping on top of it has been certainly a challenge. But I will keep trying to keep on top of it, and each time I weed it. And that was the plan. Unfortunately, I feel the soil here is really, really quite sandy. So the carrots, I don't think, have done very well in it, because there's not enough moisture in the soil for them to grow. And it doesn't hold on to the moisture for it to grow well. Now, the next bed behind this one has been the potato bed. The first early potatoes I had growing here was Aaron Pilot. Now, they are actually up and I've done okay out of them. Not brilliant amount of tubers, to be honest, but again, I think that's down to the soil and lack of it holding the moisture. But the ones that have pulled out have been reasonably big, well sized. Now, the main crop potatoes behind this are Sarpo Myra, which are a blight resistant one. And the reason I've gone for the blight resistant varieties is that we seem to get a lot of blight up here according to all the other allotments. So I figured I'll try those, and to be fair, I haven't caught blight this year, so I believe I'm the only person that's grown potatoes up there who hasn't caught blight. So there's a lot to be said for the Sarpo variety. They do actually work. Now, the next bed behind this, I've been growing garlic and onions in, which I overwinter. Now, they done reasonably well. They weren't the biggest bulbs. Some of the onions were very, very big, but they've done okay. I've obviously harvested all these now and got reasonable produce out of them. And I decided, after harvesting to them, there was still time to plant French beans and peas. So I've done that, and they're growing well, and I'm even getting peas out of it. Not a huge amount, but a few. Now, the next area is what I call a perennial area, where everything here is static. Now, the first bit, I've made a load of boxes. There are five boxes going along. Now, the first one you come to is horseradish. Now, I'll grow horseradish because I really like it. And you dig up the roots. You will never ever dig up all the roots, though. There will be little bits and they will grow more, which is why I call it my perennial area. Behind that is the asparagus bed. Doesn't do brilliantly. I planted some asparagus and it didn't grow, so hopefully next year I will be able to grow asparagus, but it will take a few years to get produce. Next to that, I've got a rhubarb, which I planted this year, and that's grown well. I haven't used it this year, but it's establishing. Next to that is a comfrey bed, which obviously I use comfrey for making fertilizer, tomato feed, etc., etc. I also believe you can use it as a herb, but I've heard there's some people that don't recommend it and say it can be poisonous. I'm going to look into that more and go from there. Now, the next one over from that is a Jerusalem artichokes. Again, you got to dig up the roots, but you will never dig up all the roots unless you're very, very lucky. So I count that as a perennial bed and permanent, so I don't mind if I leave any behind because I'll get more out of it. Then at the end, I've got my cyber apple tree. This is a variety called Kingston Black, and that is just purposely for making cider apples. Now, I only planted it this year again. It seems to have established well. No fruit as of yet. But we'll see. Now, just behind that, I've got a couple of gooseberry bushes and red, white and blackcurrant bushes. Again, I actually planted those last year, I think. The gooseberries, they did fruit. Unfortunately, I didn't net it in time and the birds got hold of it. Bit of a lesson there. Net early, probably April, May time. The currants, I've had a few, but not a huge amount. But as I say, it is the first year. Now, there is a little path there in between. And next, I've got four posts with some running north to south, if you like, with some chicken wire in between. And then I've planted some various fruits. Now, I've got a black grape down the end. I've got a Joster berry. And then I've got a couple of Tabories. Now, the grape hasn't fruited, it's just been there growing. First year, so I'm quite happy with that. And the same with the Joster berry. It's just growing, it's establishing. And it's growing up and it's making leaf. Now, the Tabories, they've been growing, they've been establishing, and one of them has been fruiting really well currently. I'm getting loads and loads of fruit out of it, a handful each time I go, which is always good. Then I've got another path, a spare area, which I'm going to use. I'm going to make like a pergola and use it as a seating area sort of thing, just to chill out and relax, possibly even a hammock. And then I've got another four posts with the chicken wire. I've got a white or a green grape down the end. I've got a kiwi vine. Unfortunately, the kiwi vine has died, so I'm planning on replacing that. And then I've got some loganberries. Now, the loganberries are establishing this year again, so I haven't fruited yet, but they're still next year. Now, I've got a thin space between that, and I've got a summer fruiting raspberry bush, a yellow autumn raspberry bush, I should say, and then some autumn raspberry bushes down the end. Now, to section them off, I've got some blueberries in pots. Now, they done really, really well. Again, I didn't net them in time and the birds ate the blueberries. I had a few, don't get me wrong, wasn't a complete failure, but not as many as I could have done. Again, learn to net is a reminder for myself. I also have a cranberry bush. Now, this is a recent addition, as the previous one I had died for some reason. I don't know why. I watered it. It was in ericaceous soil, as with all cranberry or blueberry bushes, they should be in ericaceous soils. So, why? Don't know. Now, there's another little space, and then we come to the espalier trees. I've got an apple tree, Worcester Pomain, a cherry tree, Morello, and a plum, Kazar, all done as an espalier, or fan-trained. We've got four posts with some wire stretched through them. And we tie the branches to the wire and trim back when we can any that are out of place. Now, in pots in this area, I also have a walnut tree, a hazelnut tree, a cherry tree, another apple tree, a peach tree, but the peach tree has died, I think. It's growing up from below the graft. Walnut tree, hazelnut tree, peach tree. I'm sure there's one more, and I just can't think of it at the moment. I have made notes, so I should find it, but I don't seem to have it in my notes. It will come to me. Right. Then, at the very top of this, we have a bit of a communal area with ourselves and our neighbours, where we've built a nature pond, which we've done this year, filled up with water, and the amount of wildlife that has been in there has been amazing. We've also built a bug hotel, which is four pallets stacked on top of each other, a little hedgehog house in the bottom, and then a load of twigs, branches, wood, stone, just for a home for things like bees and frogs and hedgehogs and just that nature, things that are beneficial to us. They pollinate our plants, they can even eat things like slugs and snails, which is always going to be good. There's also a couple of rhubarb trees that our neighbour planted when it was derelict here. We just eat this as we can have them and help ourselves, so we do. Been quite tasty, lovely rhubarb out of it. We also have an area here where we have a couple of incinerator bins where we just burn our perennial weeds and wood and bits of paper that we don't want. Now, it's all been quite a beneficial thing. Now, I will be putting pictures up on the website when I get that part of things working, because I don't think describing it has done very, very well, to be honest. I think this is quite an appalling for me. However, in the future, I'm going to be talking about what I've been doing, so hopefully this will get better. Now, as always, thanks for listening. Please do go and visit the website. It's theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. I also have a Facebook page, a Twitter account, all of which you can find on there. And if you like to email me, it's richard@theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. And with that, thanks for listening. And please tune in again. Thank you. Bye.